Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Debbie Rowley.
You're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk twice weekly podcast thing that we do. And this week, we're sponsored by Fire Poppies. Who, Susan, you got to check out Susan's website. New website, you got to check it out. She has really done a job on that, makes it real easy to shop. You know whether it's in, whether whatever you're buying is in stock or not. Really did a bang up job on that. That's a, those websites, they're a huge investment and time, money, and everything else. And, but I think gonna serve her well for a long time and serve her customers well. Now she has a wish list, which is a dangerous thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love the websites where you can see what they have in stock. And instead of having to email them to ask them, do you have this thread? Because right. There's a few websites like that, which, you know, I understand how difficult it is to put together a responsive, dynamic website. I know that because we're in the process of revamping ours. And so I know that.
Yeah.
I know all the time that Rod has put into this. And so kudos to Susan for taking the effort.
Yep. No, it's a big undertaking, and then you got to have somebody keep that up to date. And she's she was not too long ago had an opening to hire someone. I'm sure she found someone, and part of that job was just to keep that up to date because, especially in today's little world that we live in, online is the power. So you have to have it. So be sure and check that out. And then she has a whole bunch of new fabrics in from Seraphim and R&R. And Wichelt, I always struggle with that one. I guess Wichelt.
Wichelt.
I'll practice that. So if you need, if you're looking for linens or whatever, check her out because she has a whole bunch of them in stock these days. And also, you want, she's been working really hard to expand her counted canvas offerings.
Yay!
Yeah. Debbie in favor of that. So she has she has Debbie's line of charts, Needle Delights. Oh, Needle Delights. Now, there's some good ones.
Yeah.
Some really good ones, especially the little 4-inch color ones. And the name of that series slips me, but that's
a good introduction to canvas for people that just want to kind of dip their toes in the water.
Yep. Nancy's Needle. Those are good. Love those. Mindless Stitching there. I love those. And then Laura Perrin also. And and she's growing her her offerings in counted canvas. So if you're interested in counted canvas, Fire Poppies is a place to go to see because she is she's built up quite a bit already and is looking to add more. So the more demand, of course, the more she gets. And
I'm going to give Susan some work to do. If there's a designer that you want that she's not carrying yet, Susan is quite responsive, and she will do what she can to track down what you want.
Yes. So bug her about it.
Yes. Go for it.
And then my favorite thing, which is a resurrection, interviewed Terry Bay. Oh, I bet it's been almost 2 years now. But Terry Bay has these little Lotus boxes, she calls them, that are her own design. White work, hard anger, that kind of stuff.
Oh, and, she does beautiful work.
Oh, she does. And check out, Susan has them at Fire Poppies, has the Lotus boxes charts. And they, you get the chart and you stitch it and then also instructions to finish it. And they are, they're little things. They're not a big project, but they're beautiful. So check those out.
And you know, Terry's a really nice person. I know her. She's a teacher colleague of mine, and she does such exquisite things. You would think white on white. How interesting is that? It is. Trust me, it is gorgeous.
Yep. Yeah, she does beautiful work. I remember talking to her. I really enjoyed the conversation. So check out the Terry Bay stuff, and particularly the Lotus boxes. If you're looking for a little something, a little different project to do, that will fill the bill. I'm quite confident. So, firepoppies.com. Thanks to Susan for sponsoring us. Now, a reminder to everyone, had someone contact me yesterday, reminder that now in June and for the foreseeable future, the quarantine stitch hour is on Wednesday night. We're doing one a week on Wednesday night at 8:00 Eastern. So we shifted that in June, but now we're planning to stick with that for the foreseeable future. But 8 o'clock on the YouTube channel, Quarantine Stitch Hour on Wednesday nights. So Vaughn and I will be there tonight, if you listen to this before 8 o'clock Eastern time. And then, of course, continuing continuing to sponsor those shows, Shepherd's Needle and Fire Poppies. So those two shops will be sponsoring every Wednesday as we move forward with this thing. And then the Friday night live show, of course, continues with Stitchy Box as a sponsor. And that is on. And remember now, we're having guests, which reminds me, I don't have a guest for Friday night. have a guest every Friday night to talk to us and show work. So that's been a lot of fun. Now, Sunday at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Ooh, that just threw me for a loop there that I don't have a guest for Friday night and it's Wednesday. Oops.
Oh, somebody will email you.
Oops.
I'm going to be on.
Well, I have a couple of people. I need to set it up. So
yeah.
Sunday, 2 o'clock on the YouTube channel, 2 o'clock Eastern time, live. Now it's a live show. Natalie Dupuy will be with us, and I will be the raw student who's never done anything with gold work whatsoever. And Natalie will be giving instructions. So you'll be able to watch me fumble and bumble as I learn to couch and deal with these different types of gold work thread and little pieces that they stitch down and all the things. We have quite an array of things to work with. So Natalie will be helping me. You'll get to watch me stitch. So for anyone who's never done it, you'll be able to see just what it's like for someone who's never done it. And Vanna will be there to field questions. So it's a live show. You can ask questions, offer comments, whatever. The whole purpose is absolute, nothing more than learning. Just learning and helping people at least see what's involved in doing gold work and couching. And if you're interested, then you move on with it. And if you're not, it's just an interesting thing to do for an hour, hour and a half. No project involved. It's complete doodle cloth work. We're just gonna attach some gold materials to ground cloth and learn some of the techniques with Natalie instructing us. So, join us for that. 2 o'clock Eastern time on the FiberTalk YouTube channel. And that YouTube channel, if you have trouble finding it, it's wetalkfiber.com/YouTube. We'll get you right there. And the best thing to do is subscribe, then you get notified ahead of time of these shows, and then there's no hunting around for things. So those are the upcoming things. And then on July 5 for Vanna's birthday, which we're not permitted anymore. We were permitted to talk about how many years it is, but now we're not permitted anymore. 50. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why she's so concerned about turning 50. I passed that a long time ago.
She doesn't care. Trust me, she doesn't care.
Well, you know, maybe if we say 50 enough, everybody will care.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't care. So Royal Garden. So we're doing Debbie's Royal Garden. We're going to start that as a stitch along. And Susan is carrying the charts and the kits, as is Kim at Sassy Jack's. Both of them are supporting this effort. So you can go to Susan, and she has the whole deal there, along with Debbie's other charts. And so we're going to start that on July 5. Looking forward to that. I have all the stuff. Except, you know, I realized that I've had it kitted for so long that I need to sit down and go through it. Because I did it just as you charted it, because I really liked your colors. I have the threads. I think they're in a bag, but I need to do some inventory to make sure I didn't rob it for something else.
Well, yeah, that's probably a good idea, because you don't want to go, oh, the very first thread I need, I put in a different kit. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it will be that thread. Yeah.
And it will be that thread. Yeah. It's always that thread.
Yep. So I need to go through and do a little inventory check. Yep. But that's going to be, I'm really looking forward to that. Now, we've got all kinds of things going on here. We're going to do some things with Debbie to provide instruction. And then Debbie will be waiting in the wings in case we get in trouble somewhere along the way. And we're talking about doing some live shows with Kim, Ivana, me, and Kim, just stitching and talking about the experience. And then, of course, Ivana and I will be doing some things, too. So we'll have plenty of online, live, visual support for this thing. Because it's Debbie, one of Debbie's bigger charts. And if you look at it, it can look intimidating. I don't think it is, but it can look that way. And so we want to provide plenty of support for people. We've got to have 100+ people doing it that we know of.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
I remember when you introduced this chart, the first time I saw the picture, it's like, wow, that's beautiful. So I went and kitted it. I've had it for a long time. I got it. I got the kit shortly after you introduced it. So it's been sitting there for a while.
It has been.
Yeah. So we be all kinds of support. So if you say, hey, I'd like to do that, and then you look at the picture and you go, oh, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. There'll be all kinds of help.
It's all one stitch at a time.
Yep.
There is nothing that involves standing on your head or anything. Bring the needle up at one. The needle goes down at two. Sometimes you have to weave the needle around another thread, but it's doable. It's very doable.
Yep. Yeah, I've done several of Debbie's things, and even the ones that look intimidating, they're not. Once you follow the instructions, they're not. You can do them. But this thing is just a stunner, and really looking forward to get started on this. So now, and that was one of the things I've not thoroughly read the I read the instructions a long time ago, so let's just say I've not remembered what I read. Do we start in the middle with this thing?
Yes.
That's the best part. Yes. Spot. That's,
yeah. You start in the middle and work out from the middle, because all of the corners are the same, and the center is, you'll work out from the center. And so, yeah, you start in the center.
And now this, when you look at this thing, you go, holy smokes. But, there are most of the stuff I think is readily doable, but there gotta be some spots that are a little sticky. Are there spots where people have contacted you more often than not and
nope.
said, hey, I need help?
Nope.
Good.
So I don't know if people bought the chart and never stitched it or they didn't run into any problems. You know, well, it happens. People buy the chart and never stitch it. And
I'm stitching it.
Not calling any names or anything.
I'm stitching it. I won't mention the other 15 charts of yours that I have that haven't been stitched, but you know, we'll just move along.
Well, there we go. Yeah, there we go. Well, you know, there's two parts of our hobby. There's collecting and then there's stitching. And,
right.
You know, some people only get through the collecting part. So anyway, whatever. I am not aware of anybody saying I had a real problem. Now, with anything.
Well,
and people let me know if they run into issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get emails all the time. I answer emails all day, every day. The only time I don't answer emails is if I'm traveling or, you know, out of pocket for some reason.
Yeah.
But I'm very responsive, and I want you to be successful when you stitch it. And so if you run into a problem, let me know. I recall when I released Diamond Delight 4, which had a Walnetto in it, and someone had difficulty doing the Walnetto. So I sat down and did a video for them so that they could see me stitching the Walnetto. This is what I do.
Yeah.
That was one of the very first videos that we made, was the Walnetto, to help them learn how to stitch a Walnetto. So, if you have problems with, I'm going to be doing some videos, some stitch demonstrations for some of the more challenging stitches. They're not hard. They're just different.
Right.
And, you know, keep that in mind. None of this is hard.
No, I don't know. None of it is. I mean, Walnettos. Yeah. I've had trouble initially, but once you've done two or three, then they start to make sense.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but that's the only one I've ever had real trouble with, and it was really literally that. All right, I did this once. I'll do it again. Oh, yeah, now I start to see it. Because they all have a pattern to them.
Yeah, they do. And they're very logical. They're laid out in a very logical manner, and it's a symmetrical stitch. And so one corner of it looks like the other corners of it.
Yep. Yeah. No, I, yeah. That's the only one I ever struggled with. Because that's the only one that was, I tell the story about, I forget what class it was. I took a class from Mary McGuire. And
she's so nice.
Yes.
Just love Mary.
Yep. And it was Walnutto. And, of course, she shows it in the class, and then you go home, you know, and you don't get to it for a day or two, and then you completely forget.
Right.
And so she's working. I think she still works. I haven't talked to her in a while. Been busy. At Welcome Stitchery. So I went in on a Saturday, hoping that I would be in, tried to time it so it would be quiet time. You know, Mary, help me. Well, of course, it's not.
Yeah, and, never is.
And so, and I had, you know, Mary, can I come in? Will you take me through that again one more time? Sure, come on in. So she's working the room. I mean, there's people everywhere, and Mary's just working the room, helping people pick colors, blah, 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 you name it. And so I go off in a corner, and she gets me started. And then, you know, about every second time she went by, she'd look over my shoulder. All right, now do this and do this. And then she'd go off and help someone else and come back. Now this. Okay, got it, Mary. Okay, I'm good to go. So I'm standing there in the store, literally standing, holding my stretcher bars, stitching a Walnutto with Mary stopping by every few minutes to coach me along. And I got far enough that I knew what to do. And then I said, thanks, yeah. Mary, and I went out the door.
So. Yeah, you know, this, the Walnutto, the double fan double, the Jessica, all of those kinds of stitches, when you begin to see the relationship of the threads to each other and look on your canvas at what the threads are doing on your canvas, not the diagram, it's easier if you can get out of the diagram to stitch. And so one of the things that I try to help my students with is to understand the structure of the stitch so that they don't have to continually look at the diagram.
Yeah. Yep. Because once you see that, then you don't need a diagram.
Then you go, oh, okay, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. Then it's just how big is it? You know, what are the parameters? Yeah.
Where are the endpoints?
Right. Had somebody, and you know, I've struggled with this any more on, particularly on these types of stitches, Jessica's, Walnutto's, whatever, any more on your charts, you'll put down how long of a length of thread you need to do that entire stitch. But in your early charts, you didn't do that.
Right, because it was feedback from students, how much thread do I need? Yeah. And I began including that.
It's a huge help. And then
it is a big help.
When you put that down, then I always tack on a couple of inches anyway, just to make sure.
Everybody has a different method of starting and stopping.
But now when I do your older charts, I always have to just do, or at least this is the way I do it. I do trial and error. I just stitch one. I measure out a length that I think is going to be the appropriate length, stitch it. If I come up long, then I'll say, all right, I'm 4 inches long, so I can cut back 2 inches. Or if I come up short, then I know, all right, I better add 6 inches to this and try again. And so I rip it out and redo it. Is there any formula or any way to calculate length ahead of time, or is it really trial and error?
I don't know if there's a formula. When I am stitching the model, I measure using my stretcher bars as a guide. Okay, so for Royal Garden, it'll be 18 inches. Mm-hmm. And so twice the length of the stretcher bars, 36 inches. And I, you know, kind of eyeball it. I've got enough experience to kind of know, okay, how much to get me started. And then like you, if I had too much, I take some off. If I had too little, I add some. I never rip out a Jessica. I just start and stop it again. I mean, start and stop where I stopped.
Yeah.
I don't ever rip it out.
Now, see, I do.
Understand that because it's a symmetrical stitch. No one can tell where you started and stopped.
I want it to be all one continuous thread. It's just a thing of mine. But
okay. Well, you get to stitch however you want to. I'm just saying it's not necessary. And so if I have not done it in a book, one way that you can do is to look and see how many canvas threads does a single stitch of this cover on top of the canvas? And then is it the same on the back of the canvas? So like, for instance, a waffle stitch would not be the same on the back, because all the thread carries are at the edges and they don't go across the middle of it.
Right.
And so what you would do is look and see, okay, how many canvas threads is this covering? Then you count the number of threads in the stitch, So you can get a rough idea. Okay, there's 18 stitches, and each stitch is covering 10 canvas threads, so that's 180. And is it covering that much on the back? And then you add all that together and then divide by 18, because it's 18 canvas threads to the inch.
Yep.
And that will give you a rough estimate of how many inches it's going to take, how many inches of thread it's going to take to do that stitch.
Okay.
It's very rough. And I usually, you know, if it's going to cover, I count the number of stitches on the front. If it covers as much on the back, I double it and then divide by 18. It's a very rough estimate. And then I almost always will add 4 to 6 inches on top of that in case my math is wrong, because my math is very frequently wrong. But that's a rough guide.
Okay. Well, that's something to go on. At least that's a starting point.
It's a starting point. It's a starting point. And, you know, like with Royal Garden, you're going to stitch everything 4 times, except for the center. The center, you only stitch once. But you're going to stitch everything 4 times. And so start off with, okay, how much is it going to take to cover on top of the canvas? Is it the same on the back of the canvas? Double that, you know, and then divide by 18. And that will give you a start for the first one that you do. And then if you need more, add more for the next three, or take less if you needed less. So, there you go.
Okay, well, that gives me something to work with. And see, when I do your older ones where you don't give the length,
right,
then I take a post-it note and put it on the chart, and that's where I note my trial and error efforts.
Right.
And then when I figure out, all right, this is the length, then that's, I write that in the chart.
Right.
Because invariably you're going to do more of them in the overall project. Right. So then I write that down, and I just make sure I'm diligent about that. But I just, those stitches like that, I like to do a continuous thread. I don't, I'm funny
well,
like
I,
that.
I teach my classes how to be intentional on starting and stopping, because, you know, I've got some Jessicas, Gary, that you would not be able to stitch with a single length of thread because it's 760 inches.
Yeah, I know.
And you would spend more time untangling and unknotting than you would stitching. And by the time you got through with it, it'd be a wreck anyway, and you couldn't use it. And so I teach my students how to be intentional and start and stop where they know where they are. Like, for instance, if you're doing a Jessica and you're going to run out of thread before you can do the whole thing, stop when you before you start sliding the stitches under.
Yes.
And start a new thread and do the stitches that slide under with that new thread, so that you're not having to start and stop at that point. Because it's sometimes, you know, if a Jessica's small, it's really difficult to tell, have I got 2 stitches in this hole yet?
Yes.
But if you're intentional about, okay, I'm going to stitch the first 2 sides. I'm not going to have enough to do the second 2 sides. So I'm going to stop at that point, regardless of how much thread you have left.
Yeah.
And then do the next 2 sides.
Then you know where you're at. Yeah.
Then you know where you're at. And the same with a Walnetto. Start and stop at an intentional spot with a double fan doubled. Start and stop intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those little Jessicas, knowing where, especially when you're in the past under the threads thing, it's like, I'm just going to make it look right.
Well, you know, if it's an expanded Jessica where there's 2 canvas threads between every hole, it's easier to see where to start and stop because it's big and it's easier to see. But on a really small one, a 3x3 Jessica, it's too tough to tell. But, you know, a 3x3 Jessica should only take about 12 inches.
Right. Now, that's on the Anasazi song, Carol Lake's design, you start out with a Jessica that's out of Krynek, that if it's a 1/2 inch diameter, 3/4 inch diameter, maybe in the center out of Krynek, you know, metal braid or whatever. It's like, really, Carol, this is the way we're going to start this thing.
Yeah. Well, I do small ones like that. If I need a filling, you know, because a Walnetto, when you stitch a Walnetto, it's going to have a hole in the middle.
Right.
Well, the hole in the middle, some people don't like to have a hole in the middle. And, you know, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. If the canvas color is a part of the design, then it doesn't bother me. But if I don't want a hole in the middle, I'll do a Jessica first, or a road stitch, or, you know, an eyelet or something, so that there's something in the middle, and then you make the walnut around it, so to fill up that hole.
Right.
Other people like to do beads, or they'll do a button or a charm or something like that. Or hot fix crystals. I love hot fix crystals. I'm sitting here looking at my shirt. It's got hot fix crystals on my shirt.
There we go. There we go.
I love them. So yeah, and they're super easy to do after you've completely stitched the thing, because they're not stitched on; they're ironed on. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would.
A guy. You don't like glitter, so.
Yeah, no, I don't. But I don't know if I'd iron something onto a piece of needlework. I don't know.
Well, see, it's got a heat-activated glue on the back of it, and I've used it several times. And then there's this little tool that you just touch the top of the sequin or the crystal. It doesn't affect anything else around it, and it just affixes it to the project. And I've done it on top of threads. I've done it on top of flare. Does it melt the flare? Does it melt neon rays? And it works great, especially, you know, if you don't necessarily like to bead, but you want a little sparkle here and there. Hot fix crystals, good answer. And they come in a lot of different sizes. I've used them on a lot of different projects.
I don't know. I'd have to think hard about that. I don't know. Gluing stuff on just bugs me.
I'm an indiscriminate gluer. If my neon rays tails are popping through to the front, I get out my fabric glue and glue that sucker down. It's not coming back up.
Yeah, I don't know. Just gluing stuff down makes me, I don't know.
Fabric glue is made for it.
Yeah, I know, but still.
You know, I don't cover, and you know, with Japanese embroidery, you cover the whole back of your piece with rice paste two or three times after you finish stitching it.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah.
For why?
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you, Debbie.
You know, really? You'd have to get Margaret Kinsey or somebody who does Japanese, who's a proficient at Japanese embroidery, to explain why. I don't know why, but when I've done Japanese embroidery projects, they say to cover the whole entire back of it with rice paste, and then you iron it, and then you cover it again with rice paste, and then you iron it again, and then you cover it again with rice paste, and you iron it again. I don't know why.
I'm sure they have an exact reason why, but
I'm sure, you know, Japanese embroidery is so precise, but I'm sure there's a reason why. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, they don't do anything just because they want to. No,
no. There's a reason. And, you know, I don't know if it's because of the way the threads are started and stopped, and this is to make sure that they don't come loose. I don't know. I don't know what the reason is, but that's what you do.
Fascinating. All right, now I got to find out why. I'm on a mission now. Yeah.
Margaret Kinsey will come on with you, because she is a Japanese embroidery teacher and expert. So yeah, she would be a good one to talk to.
Okay, I got to know that. Yeah, that's that is one area that I would love to do. Go through all 10 stages, I think it is.
Yeah. No, not me.
I would love to do it just because of the precision that's required.
Yeah,
but I would never tackle it. If you couldn't know that you could sit down for extended periods, you know, virtually every day, because I just feel like you'd have to stay at it to really make progress.
Yeah. You know, I have learned quite a bit that I apply to my designing and my counted canvas work from techniques like Japanese embroidery, like gold work, like hard on, or like some of the other techniques that I have tried. Don't necessarily do them all the time. You know, I've done several gold work projects. I understand the principles that are involved, and I've learned things from it that I apply to counted canvas work. Same with Japanese embroidery, primarily pin stitches from the front.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because in Japanese embroidery, it's a disgrace to turn your canvas over.
Yeah, I remember you said that the last time. And every time I turn my canvas over, that enters my mind. Oh, man, I should be working on not having to do this.
But, you know, I am trying very hard with all of my counted canvas work to start and stop threads from the front. with pin stitches because, for one thing, it's faster.
Right.
And you don't lose your place, and you're not, you know for sure you're not weaving under the wrong things. And so it makes for neater projects, neater backs, which I'm not that concerned about, but neater project and faster, I'm all over. And so, you know, pin stitches, the two or three Japanese embroidery classes that I've taken, not very many, certainly not a certification level at all, but it has taught me that.
See, I've been working on it, but I can't say that I've, I'm starting with pin stitches, no problem. Do that, that's kind of standard. It's the ending and making sure that they don't show that challenges me more often than not. So,
Because that's
always been my pet peeve about stitching, always has been, is the starting and stopping. Because to me, it's just hassle.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I had a friend that did these really elaborate cross stitch projects, and she started and stopped every stitch with an away knot all across the top of her project.
Mm-hmm.
Then when she finished, she then had to weave all of these things in. And I was like, you know what? When I'm done, I'm done. I don't want to touch it again. I just want to give it to the framer. I'm through with it. I don't want to have to now spend 2 hours or 3 hours weaving in the ends of all of these threads.
Right.
And so when I use an away knot, which is appropriate for some stitches, I use an in the path knot. Mm-hmm. And I put the knot and stitch toward it, cover the tail. So when I come to the knot, I can just clip it off.
Yeah. Done with it.
And, you know, I have had, you know, of course I'm super careful, but it happens on occasion. I have had weaving threads through on the back that showed through to the front. And I am proficient enough now with pin stitches that I can place them where they're not going to show, even from ending a stitch, and they're not going to show. And I like it better because I don't disturb the stitches on the front.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I will move a thread aside to put a pin stitch under it and then kind of take my needle and stroke it back over.
Mm-hmm.
It works. It's great. It's
okay, easy. So I think we've talked about this before. So say I'm going to do a Jessica. Now, getting started with a pin stitch, no problem.
Right.
Because you can put that any number of places and it'll be covered up.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty easy. Just pick a spot, do it, and then start stitching.
Yep.
But ending it with a pin stitch,
I do the same thing. I pick a spot where it's not going to show. I kind of move the threads to the side. I do my pin stitch, fit off. If you're nervous about clipping it from the front, you can clip it from the back. And then I just kind of, I usually, when I do a Jessica, I kind of stroke the threads around anyway after I finished. Just to make sure I haven't pulled anything out of place when I was weaving under. So I just take my needle and kind of stroke the threads back. I do the same thing with when I've ended with a pin stitch. I kind of move the threads aside. I do my pin stitch. Then I kind of move the threads back over it.
Okay. And I think we have talked about this before. I got to get this in my head, though, because that's disturbing the stitches I've just laid down to make a pin stitch kind of bugs
me.
But
just pet them back into place with your needle.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, you know, I do that anyway. Because invariably, the first stitch that all of the other stitches go under, your very first stitch when you're starting a Jessica, it gets moved out of place.
Yeah, that's true.
Almost always. And you just take your needle and just kind of stroke it back into place so that it's laying the way all of the other threads are, so you can't tell where you start and stop by looking at it.
Right.
And so, you know, that there's that kind of a lip that covers over blank canvas when you do a Jessica, depending upon how open the center is.
Yeah.
So you just kind of move that aside until you can see a clear canvas thread. You just need one. Go over it 2 times. You don't need to go over it 3 times because there's not going to be any tension on the thread from now on because you finished.
Yeah.
Starting, you need 3, but ending, you only need 2. And then I just pull it up from the front and clip it off and then stroke the threads back over it. But if this make, and when you pull it up from the front and put some tension on it and then clip it off as close to the canvas as you can, it kind of sucks that tail back down.
Right.
And so, but if that makes you nervous, you can always do it from the back and, you know, pull it down, clip it off. You're not going to disturb, and then take your needle in on the front, kind of stroke the threads back in place so that they're straight and swirl the way you want them to.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's one area I got to work on. I first have to get over the hump of moving the threads aside, but
they'll move back.
I know, but I don't like doing that. So, okay. Yep. All right. That's something for me to work on. I'm always trying to work on the little things that make huge difference over the course of a project.
Yeah,
they
do. They do make a huge difference. I always find a little satisfaction when I'm able to put a pin stitch exactly where I want it and doesn't show.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I teach my students in class is, okay, let's look at the finished diagram and look where most of the threads are crossing. That's where you're going to put your pin stitch to start because mm-hmm. you know it's not going to show.
Right.
And then at the end of it, you can see where are most of the threads crossing. Put your pin stitch down there.
Right. Yep. No, that's one of the cool things about these string art type stitches.
Oh, yeah.
Is getting started is a piece of cake because there's all kinds of places you can.
Yes, exactly. There are all kinds of places. But usually these stitches that are dimensional and that come up off the canvas, like double fan doubles and Walnettos and Jessicas, you can usually take your needle or your fingernail and just kind of move the threads aside. There's going to be a little piece of blank canvas. Yeah. Or you can do a single stitch over one canvas thread, clip it off, and then kind of move the threads back over it. Easy peasy.
Okay. I got to work on that. You mentioned about the waffle stitch. I'll never forget the first time I did a waffle stitch and flipped it over to finish the thread. Because, you know, you're so focused on getting it to look right on the front. And then you forget that on the back, it's just on the edges. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that. Like, oh, no, now what?
When am I going to end? Yeah. Yeah. And I think ending a waffle stitch with a pin stitch from the front is the best way to end it because there is nothing on the sides.
No.
If you've done it right.
Right.
If you didn't do it right, there'll be a lot all over. But any still long stitch, long threads that you can't really secure to.
No. But that is the best sign that you've screwed it up is if you see anything, anything in the middle. Oops.
Yeah. Anything other than where your pin stitch was to start.
Yep. Yeah. You better go back and take a look because something went haywire. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah. And I always remember flipping that over. Wait, where's all the thread? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love waffle stitches. I do a lot of them with a lot of different kinds of threads and alternating threads and everything because I just think it's a wonderful stitch. I like the way the finished stitch looks. But I had a student named Mike who was doing waffle stitches, and he told me in another class after that one that he was in, he said, I know exactly how to do a waffle stitch. I can do them in my sleep now because of the instruction of how to do it. Because it's something that can be challenging if you're not taught how to do it correctly.
Yep.
And that's one thing that my students almost always will take away from a class is I learned how to do a waffle stitch. Well, that and a pin stitch. I learned how to do a pin stitch.
Yeah. Like
the double fan double, nah, no challenge. Pin stitch challenge.
Yep. Yep.
I just laugh about it. I'll come home and I'll tell Rod. He'll say, how was your class? And I'll say, they learned how to do a pin stitch. And we just crack up. Least thing. But anyway, whatever.
Well, it's that stitch, that one stitch.
It's so useful for everything that you do.
Yeah,
and Natalie will show you how to do pin stitches for gold work because it's a little bit different than it is for canvas work.
Yeah, she already gave us a demonstration on that. Yeah, that's a different world. Now, I'm looking forward to doing this thing because it's a completely different world for, because there's not a lot of up at one, down at two stuff.
Oh, there's none of that because it's surface embroidered.
Right.
But the thing about gold work is you will learn how to couch.
Yes.
And you can then couch anything down to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you've got a counted, you know, a cross-stitch project and you want to couch a, you know, let's say you're doing like a kite string or something and you want to couch down a kite string, well, you do that. And it's simple. And you'll learn how to do it.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm hoping that people will join us on Sunday, because it isn't just gold work.
It's not just gold work. You'll learn things that are useful for other techniques.
Right. You know, that, and that to me, that's much more valuable. I mean, if you never want to do gold work, it doesn't matter. You'll pick up some things. Yeah. That'll come in handy.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to an EGA seminar one time, and they always wanted you to register for your first, second, and third choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I got all of my third choices. I didn't get any of my first choices. And so I had 6 days of gold work.
Oh, no.
I would never have signed up for six days of gold work. But anyway, whatever. It's all different teachers, all different projects. But yeah. It's just like, no, I'm over it.
Yeah.
So from then on, whenever I sign up for seminars, I have one choice. If I don't get that, I'm not coming.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take care of that problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, and speaking of seminars, okay, we got to go through, because the ANG seminar is canceled, join the club on that. So I think it's an opportunity here.
I do too. If you've always wanted to take a seminar level class, now remember that these are for the most part brand new projects that have not been taught anywhere before. Okay, so you're going to get it for the first time. And with high quality level teachers. And, you know, of course, I am one. I hate to say that I'm a high quality level teacher, but whatever. All of the teachers are first rate, have loads of experience. And you can take classes in any number of techniques and kinds of things.
So take us through what did ANG decide and what are they offering?
Okay. I think there's like 40 classes that are being offered, and you do not have to be a member of ANG. You will pay a one-time fee. I think it's $60 if you're not a member of ANG, and then you can take any of the classes that you want to take.
Mm-hmm.
That's true when you go to a regular seminar as well. You do not have to be a member of ANG if it's in your area and, oh, look, here's these classes. I want to take a class, but there's not a chapter or whatever. Then you can go and take a class. You just have to pay a fee because you're not a member, but otherwise, go. Then for each class, there is a registration fee for each class and a kit fee. Now, the registration fee covers the teaching fee for the teacher, the cost of shipping the project to you, and the administrative costs. And so it has to be paid for each class.
Yeah.
But then you are unlimited in the number of classes that you want to take. If you went to seminar, you would be limited by the number of days that are available.
Right.
But here, so, okay, if but, you've got...
All right, so back up just a little bit now. So there's a couple of things that are different from a normal year.
Yes.
One is you would normally have to bid, if you will, to get into a class because there are only so many seats. So we don't have that limitation here.
No. Most of the projects being offered have no limitations at all. As many people as want to take them can take them.
Yeah. And then the other thing is you're paying these fees, different fees, but you also don't have to go out and buy your own kit. That's all taken care of for you.
Right.
You don't have to order. You don't have to wait for threads to come in or anything like
nope.
that.
Nope.
It's all so because you have already kitted up all of yours.
I will kit them when I get the.
Yeah.
Class roster.
Right.
So I know how many, you know, I don't, unlike Ivana with her warehouse in the back, I don't have that.
Well, there's only one person in the world that has that. So.
And so I have to order supplies as needed for the class that I'm currently teaching. And, you know, I can handle one or two reels or skeins or whatever left over, but I don't keep unlimited supplies on hand.
Yeah.
I'm not a shop.
Right. So, but from the student perspective, you don't have to do anything. You sign up, you pay the fees, you can get whatever class you want. Because if it was a regular seminar, that like you just described your first time, you got all your third level choices.
Right.
And normally, the initial sign up is quite hectic for these seminars to get in the classes that you want. So this limitation goes away. This is where I think this is actually a plus.
Yes.
Because you don't have to travel.
Nope. You don't have hotel fee. You don't have food costs. You don't have travel expenses. Just the class.
Right. So now, to me, it gets to be a more economical way to get some of the, to take classes and do some of the latest, newest projects.
Yes, exactly. Well, because when you consider, like, usually when you go to seminar, you pay a fee to register for 2 days of classes or 4 days of classes mm-hmm. or 5 days of classes, and it's a pretty hefty fee. But that has to cover the teaching costs. It has to cover the fee for the teachers, their expenses, the seminar administrative expenses, the site expenses, all of that. And so the fee that you're going to pay to register for each class is to cover, it's still going to be less. Let's say you decide that you want to take three classes. It's still less than you would pay for taking 5 days of, you know, because they're 2 day classes, 3 day classes, whatever, still less than you would pay the seminar fee for taking classes.
Right. Right.
Well, and see, then this, you also have your kit fees, and the kit fees are all different depending upon how many threads are in it, how the kinds of materials and things like that.
Yep. See, this is where for me, and this is just me, but the first time that I had a chance to go to after I joined ANG and joined the Fox chapter was a legitimate chance I had was when it was in Chicago the last time.
Right.
And I thought, oh, great. I can get on a train. I can go downtown. I can spend the day. I can come back at night. I don't have any hotel fees. I don't have any of that stuff. And so I can go. And
right.
So I'm going to go. And then I went to sign up for a class. And at the, you know, there was no guarantee you were going to get in the class that you
right.
wanted. And then they tacked on the fee because I wasn't using a hotel room.
Right.
And so on and so forth. And I was up over $1,000 to take a class, and I had no guarantee I was going to get the class I wanted.
Right.
And it stopped me because I thought,
yeah.
All right, $1,000.
For one class.
I can buy 9 or 10 counted canvas projects with threads, canvas, the whole shooting match with that money.
Right.
Is it worth that money to go down there? And you can make the arguments, yeah, you get to be with Stitchers and you get to do this and you get to do all the plus things, but is it worth that kind of money for one class and I got no guarantee of getting it?
Right.
And so then I said, forget it. I'm not even going to bother. And it's, even though it's in my backyard, just it's not worth that money to me. But now this year, it's a completely different ballgame.
Yes, it is. And I would take advantage of it this year because there's no guarantee that it will ever happen
right.
again.
That's right. Well, we hope not for the reason that they're doing it this year anyway.
Well, yeah, me too. Oh, gosh, me too.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you consider that to put on seminar is a hugely expensive proposition because A&G has to arrange for all of the classroom spaces. They have to have 2 or 3 exhibit halls that are reserved for A&G for the and for EGA as well for the entire length of the seminar because of the exhibits, the banquets, the other things that go on. They have to, and all that costs money.
Right.
Then if a teacher needs a projector or screen, money. Setting up seats and tables, money. I mean, and they rely on the fees that the students are paying for their hotel rooms, food and beverage and stuff like that. It all factors in. It's a hugely complicated thing. And all of that has gone. And so I don't know. It does not benefit A&G or EGA to offer remote classes in conjunction with a seminar.
Right. Right.
This year it's completely different.
Yeah.
And so I would take advantage if you can.
Yeah, it's a real opportunity. It really is.
Yeah. And you can take as many classes as you want to, which, you know, I think is a real benefit because if you have 5 classes that you wanted to take at seminar, but they were all offered on the same day, you'd have to pick.
Right.
Or you only have 5 days that you can take a class, you have to pick.
Right.
Now you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. And now the other point here is that these are, for you in particular, these are designs that are not available retail.
Nope.
Yeah, okay. you don't, because you teach with them for some time if you ever make them available for retail.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity to get some of your newest designs and those of other teachers. I think most teachers have the same approach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The stricture that we have for submitting a proposal is not being taught anywhere else.
Yeah. You're not even allowed. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not even allowed, and you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do anything with it for 6 months after seminar.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So this is
latest
this is
the yeah, greatest.
Yeah, exactly. So this is why I think it's such a huge plus for stitchers. And I've never done it before. I've never done counted canvas. I've never done needlepoint in general. Here's a way to try it, get instruction from the best in the business, and have a latest design and get that experience without, you know, all the travel expenses. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there truly is something for everyone. There's surface embroidery. Now they do it on accounted ground because that's the A&G's mission is a threaded needle on accounted ground. But Terry Bay is offering classes. There are some painted canvas embellishment classes if you're interested in that. There's gold work classes if you're interested in that. There's some Japanese embroidery. I think there's some Japanese embroidery. There's all kinds of stuff, literally.
Yeah. And I assume that that's all readily available at the A&G site. That site tends to be most of it hidden behind logins.
Needlepoint.org. Needlepoint.org. And on the homepage, the middle button under the title is seminar.
Yep.
And you click that button and it takes you to the registration information, all the classes, bios on the teachers, everything you need to know. And it's I've looked several times. It's very readily apparent.
Good. That's a plus.
So, it's easy to find.
So there it is, folks. You know, if you're at all interested, this is a real opportunity. May not be available again. Don't know what how this virus thing is going to change the thinking of these organizations long term, but certainly for this year, this is a way to get in on seminar level projects and activities and instruction without making the trip.
And exactly,
take advantage of it. You know, if you're at all interested, it's worth looking into it at the minimum. Yeah.
Well, you know, and your international students may find this, listeners may find this of interest as well, because I know that we do have almost always some international students at seminar, a handful. But if you've always looked at seminar and gone, you know, I really would love to go, but I can't afford the overseas travel and to be gone for 3 weeks and all this other kind, now you can.
Yep. Well, and this is the thing we were talking about with the ladies from Royal School. They're in the same boat, and it for them, it's the global reach.
Yes.
You don't have to look very far to find people who wouldn't love to be able to afford to travel to London to take a course at the palace from the Royal
yes,
School.
Yes, raising my hand here because I would dearly love that.
But so this is a chance to get with what they're doing, same kind of thing. It's a chance to take advantage. So if you're looking to broaden your horizons, these are real opportunities. And the A&G seminar getting canceled, while disappointing and unavoidable, to me is a real opening of the doors. And,
yes.
Worth taking advantage of.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned you're redoing your website.
Yes.
And so that isn't just redoing the website, because you're along these same lines now. You're looking, and you've been looking at for some time, offering online courses.
Right.
So tell me what you're doing. What are your plans there, as much as you want to reveal anyway?
Yeah, we're not quite ready yet, but we are diligently working. Rod has been working for hours. You know, he works all day his regular job, and then he works for Debbie's Designs all evening.
but it's paid handsomely.
Yes, he's very handsomely paid. But yes, anyway. I won't go into that.
Here's dinner, buddy. Be quiet.
Yeah, and I did your laundry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're good. We are going to have several things available, but one of the things that we're wanting to do is do some online courses. Now, I do teach through Shining Needle Society, and I've got a class that's registering now through Shining Needle Society called Adagio, and we'll be taking registrations through June the 15th for that. But here's the difference. A lot of things, like when you go to a learning platform site like Thinkific or something like that, the classes are on demand. Here's when you sign up, here's when it starts, here's when it ends, but whenever you want to. And so that's what we're looking at doing with some of my teaching projects, is make them available on demand, to where, you know, you see something on Facebook, oh, look at this project. Oh, well, you know, we're not registering for it right now, but hey, you can go to my website and get it on demand. So when you're ready, when it suits your schedule, or, you know, whatever. So that's one of the things that we're looking at. We're also looking at doing what's called drip courses, where I would release a lesson once a week, just like I do through Shining Needle Society. And there would be a specific sign up, a specific start date, a specific end date. And, you know, things like that. We're trying to reach stitchers where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's exciting. I'm anxious to see this all come to be, because I think it's going to be some real opportunities. And then you also have this free project that Vonna's been working on that you did. Have we completed that?
Yes, I completed that and started the next one, and the next one's going to be completed. I'm going to post the last part of it on Friday.
Clearly, I am behind.
Don't you ever go to my website, Gary?
Don't take it personally, Debbie. Really don't.
No, I don't. And then I'm going to take a break for about a week, because I have some other things that I want to write about on my blog. But then I'm going to start the next one. And so this is a feature that we're going to try to keep going on my website, is a free stitch along, where it doesn't cost you anything except your threads. Usually you can stitch with threads from your stash, but, you know, you'll see the diagrams and the instructions that you can click on and print out if you want to, but it'll be a complete project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you're curious about the most recent one, I'm sure there's all kinds of examples on Debbie's site, and then Vonna's Instagram. She's been posting what she did, and she did that all from stash.
Yes, she did it all from stash.
Wait a minute. Wait, let me back up. Wait, that isn't even a this world example, is it? Vonna did it from stash. That has nothing to do with the rest of us.
Well, yeah, most people, she probably has a stash that rivals mine.
Yeah, never mind. Let me just rephrase. You can do it from stash. It's been done.
Yes, you can do it from stash. And if you have questions about, well, you know, I don't have this thread, I don't have that thread, email me and I'll help you find something in your stash that will work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try to do things that are accessible, like I'm going to brag a little bit. I have the cover of A&G Needle Pointers, the latest issue.
Yes.
Now, that project was all stitched with DMC cotton floss, every bit of it.
Mm-hmm. I noted that, yes.
And the reason that that was a deliberate choice on my part, as tempting as it is to use this, one of the few things I've ever done that didn't have metallics on it.
It absolutely killed her to do it.
it did, because there was no glitter on it at all. But I have recently moved to a place where I do not have a shop. I do have a Hobby Lobby. I do have a Walmart, and they carry DMC floss. And I thought, you know, this would be a project for people who do not have a shop.
Mm-hmm.
Because almost everybody can go to Walmart and buy DMC floss, or if they have a Hobby Lobby or a Joann's or a Michaels.
Yep.
And they could stitch this whole entire project from DMC floss. Now, I used it in a couple of different ways. You know, in one place, I just used it as it came from the skein. I didn't strand it or anything, and I just couched it down.
Hmm.
In other places, I used 2 strands or 4 strands.
That's interesting.
You just took it, just that round, just round twist round of thread, and you couched it down.
And I couched it down. I don't remember if I couched it or I stem stitched with it, but I did one of the two with it, to make a circle.
I'm going to have to go study that. That's interesting.
Well, you know, and the stitches that I used are, for the most part, up at one, down at two. There's no needle weaving or anything like that. It's just fairly straightforward stitching.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
And I would probably be, you know, I enjoyed the challenge to myself to do that. I'll probably be doing some more of that.
It killed you. You don't even be challenged, though. It killed you to do that.
No. It's a challenge to listen, it's a challenge
There's
to design.
There's no flair in here. There's no.
Stop making fun of me.
Okay, Debbie. You just sing the song and we'll listen, maybe. Yeah, okay.
Well, like the latest stitch along, it was for the A&G Hold Up Minis, the Hum. But I just gave them the chart with no instructions. And so I decided to stitch it. That one doesn't have any metallics on it either.
Hmm. Okay. Wow.
This is
different. No, it came out. I mean, it really came out beautiful. Just watching Vonna stitch hers, it really.
Yeah, and then I sent her mine to finish, and she did a stellar job. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, she's a little skilled in that area, just a little.
Yes, she mm-hmm. is. Yes, she is. I mean, yeah. I know how to do some finishing, and I've done some of my own finishing. She's so much better at it. She's so much better at it.
Yeah, she's, it's pretty amazing stuff, what she can put out of that cave. Yep. It really
with
is.
Her minions back in her warehouse. So
Yeah, her people. Yeah, yeah. All right, so here we are, over an hour.
Of course.
Always. So the message is, the overriding message is, this is a real opportunity if you're interested in needlepoint, looking to expand, interested in what these seminars have to offer. Go to the A&G website, go to Debbie's website, check these things out, because these are real opportunities. And in this quarantine situation, the technology, people are really being forced to learn the technology and make it work for them. But the end result is, for stitchers, a real benefit. Huge benefit in that you get to try things without traveling. And, you know, some people just simply can't travel.
I know. You know, they're caring for elderly parents or a partner or children, or their work won't allow it. And, you know, if I had a regular full-time day job and I had 2 weeks of vacation a year, it would be incredibly selfish to take 1 week of that without the family.
Right. Yep.
Not that it wouldn't be worthwhile, but I'm just saying, a lot of people don't feel like they could do that.
Right. So this is just a huge opportunity to try these things out and learn from the best. And like I said, you know, these projects from the A&G seminar, you can't just go to the store and buy one.
They
don't and won't exist for some time. So
yes,
it's a chance to get the newest stuff.
If ever,
right.
Because, you know, I don't have a problem. Curdy and I both started doing wholesale to shops. That's how we started. And so that's our mindset, is to release charts and things like that. But these other teachers know.
Yeah.
They've never done that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this is a chance. And, yeah, those ones where you see somebody post online and it's so-and-so's project. How do I get it? You can't. Well,
it's unobtainable. Unobtainium.
that. So take advantage of these things. It's all there, and you can do it from your home. And expense is considerably less than traveling to some event. And save your vacation days for family time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Sunday from Luhu Stitches, Cindy Young had really got to talk about what goes through a designer's mind with Cindy. I really enjoyed that conversation and just how she goes about it and gets her designs to work and colors and so on and so forth. was a really, really fun conversation with Cindy. So join us Sunday for that conversation. And, of course, Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern will be our Goldwork live show on the YouTube channel with Natalie Dupuy. And if you're listening before 8 o'clock tonight, Wednesday night, we're live at 8 o'clock on the YouTube channel, and again on Friday. Debbie, thanks. That was fun.
Oh, thank you. I always enjoy it.
Debbie'sDesigns.com. Go there.
Yes, please.
Thanks for listening. Thanks to Fire Poppies.